Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen. I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so the gospel reading. The gospel parable of the fig tree suggests that we ordinary people should be able to know the signs of the times and that they're going to have an effect on us really right now. Well, certainly the emergence of leaves and buds announce the coming of summer. The message is so obvious that this is something that I should be able to see and know for myself. Yet the reading from the book of Revelation presents a number of signs that I at first find very obscure, and then it starts to all pull together in the vision of the New Jerusalem. There is the suggestion that the cumulative signs are so obvious that we should be able to see and know for ourselves. Well, let's see how this works and if this is really the case. November comes with the dying of the year, and perhaps the most noteworthy sign is the most arbitrary. We set our clocks back 1 hour to mark the end of daylight savings time. The month also takes on a somber hue as we as Catholic people remember our dead, especially the dear friends, parents, teachers, relatives who have gone before us. They taught us so much. They even loved us into life. In remembering the dead of a beloved mentor, the poet Wendell Berry makes the claim, "The best teachers teach more than they know. By their deaths, they teach us most. They lead us beyond what we know and what they knew." From his collected poems. Well, this rings true for me as I think of the mentors and dear friends who have gone before me, and yet I can't fully explain it. The shadows of this time are intensified by a national election that only increases the quagmire of compromise and misguided causes as we watch our leaders crash up against ongoing war, justice denied, illusions of American empire, and the economic tragedy with so many people losing their homes and their jobs. The politicians are held in place by economic opportunists, those who would selfishly deplete the world's resources. Well, you could go on, and I'm sure you could correct and add to this list of foreboding signs of the times. And yet November is also a time of thanksgiving, rest after the harvest, amazement over the fruitfulness of the earth itself that will see us through the winter and on to another spring. But we're also in a special moment of thankfulness about our origins as a people and the freedom we sought. And these are signs in the midst of our experience of life itself that move us to be completely and forever thankful. In fact, for those of us who attempt to cultivate some serious time for prayer, the attitude of thankfulness is at the very center of everything. As we are bonded with life, as we reach through to our loving and creating God, our prayer lives in the spirit of thankfulness. In fact, we Christians call our central act of worship Thanksgiving or Eucharist. In spite of everything, we're able to read the signs and we're forever and deeply and lovingly thankful. I find Richard Rohr's depiction of prayer as a kind of resonance reaching through to the very being of God and allowing that to possess it. This is just very helpful. While rejecting the notion of prayer as asking for good things for the future or release even from present pain, he uses our consciousness of the present moment to pierce our human limitations, to move to the heart of things, and to vibrate with the very mystery, the source of life itself. We rest in God's good life, and we are thankful. I'm especially interested that we do not use such prayer as an excuse for evasion and self-indulgent comfort. I want my attachment to the signs and wonders of God's generosity to be so strong that I return to the practical, everyday demands of life with choices that are worthy of the thankfulness of this season. I need to risk placing all of my energies at the disposal of this God who creates, blesses, and loves us, so that my behavior will produce some surprises. I need to enter the political, social, and economic areas of my life with a realistic sense of humility, and yet with the strong energy that thankfulness provides. I will not just grieve over the shadow side of things. I will focus on the divine center and allow this to become real within me, and let the energies and signs now alive within my thankfulness evoke new choices and a new future. God's future. I wish you such a joyous and hopeful Thanksgiving weekend.